longer than you know. Let the fire in your heart begin to grow. Loving me is enough. I'm breaking through the dark, shining with my truth and lighting up my heart. Every day I rise, every moment's tough, but loving me is enough.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Loving Me is Enough podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about real life situations and our trauma. We not only talk about it, we learn, process, and heal through it. So let's get into it. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about truths, we've been talking about traumas, we've been talking about our childhood, and we've been talking about those things that made and shape who we are as an individual, even when we didn't ask for it. And so today is no different. We're going to be talking about becoming the adult that your younger self needed. A lot of times we don't know what we don't know, but when we do know, we have to act accordingly. So for a moment, I'm going to start with a little exercise that I want each and every one of us to do. First of all, you have to be in a safe place to do it because it does require you to close your eyes. So I want you to imagine something with me. Close your eyes just for a moment and picture yourself as a child. Pick an age, any age. You could be 5 years old, 8 years old, 12 years old, 16 years old. Pick an age, any age that you choose to reflect upon. And now close your eyes. Look at that little girl. Look at that little boy in the eye. What do you see? Do you see a child that's full of joy? Or do you see a child that's trying to be brave? Do you see a child that's filled with confidence? Or do you see someone who's already wondering if they're enough? Here's a question that changed my life that I hope will become a life changer for you as well. One of the things I had to ask myself through this healing process, this healing journey is, let's just say 8. We're going to go back to the age of 8. I had to ask myself, if 8-year-old Natasha walked into the room with 48-year-old Natasha, would she feel safe? Would she feel safe with the adult that I've become? Not because I'm perfect, because I've become the kind of person they desperately needed back then. Would she feel safe? And the truth of the matter is, when I asked myself this a few years ago, the answer would have been no. No. The child in me would not have been safe in some degree, to some regard, with the adult that I've become. Over 10 years ago, I was the adult that suppressed a lot. Over 15, 20 years ago, I would say, more accurate. And so my childhood me would not have been safe with my adult me, because my adult me was still suppressing. It was still avoiding. It was still shutting down. It was still isolating. It was still doing all those things that we talked about in previous episodes this month. And so I had to realize, in order for my 8-year-old, I'm just using 8 as an example, but in order for my 8-year-old self to be comfortable and to be happy and confident with 48-year-old me, there was some work that needed to be done. And so I did. And here we are. Loving me is enough. So you can open your eyes. The first thing we're going to do as we become the adult that our younger self needed, we're going to start reintroducing ourselves. Most of us introduce ourselves and present ourselves as the pain, the trauma that we've been through. We identify with it so much so, and it takes up residency that we don't even realize that we're introducing ourselves as such. For example, instead of saying I experienced rejection, some of us internalize it and say I am rejected. Instead of saying I was abandoned, some of us say, oh, well, people always leave me. You see what I'm saying? We take on the identity of it, we own it, and we make it who we are. When in fact, it's really not a part of identity. It's a part of your upbringing. It's a part of what happened, but it should not continue to remain your identity. So the first thing we're going to do in this healing journey, because after this month of doing all this soul work, we got to close on a positive note. So we're going to reintroduce ourselves. We're going to reintroduce ourselves to the world, because who are you without survival mode? Who are you when you're not trying to prove yourself? Who are you when you're not performing for acceptance? Who are you when you're not carrying everyone else's emotional grief and baggage and weight? Who are you? Some of us thrive so well in the midst of chaos, in the midst of confusion, that we don't know who we are outside of it. That's why peace seems so unreal. That's why peace seems like impossible. And that's why peace seems boring, because some of us are so used to the chaotic scenery and the chaotic vibes that introducing peace seems to be abnormal. But after you've done your work and after you've gone through your healing process, and healing is just not a one-time thing, it's an ongoing cyclical thing that we must do in every phase and every aspect of our life. So I don't want you to think because, oh yeah, I did the work and I healed that part of me that, oh, I'm done. Yeah, no. Healing is consistent. There's always something that evolves within us, within ourselves, that we can always turn back to and heal. I want us to become the version that rests without apologizing, the version that says no without feeling selfish, the version that laughs without guilt. I want us to be introduced to the version of us that's just genuinely who we are without feeling guilty. The version that believes that we're worthy even when we're not producing, even when we're not having our best hair days, even when we're not on top of our game. I want us to be so comfortable with being who we are and who we were initially created to be that all those external factors don't matter. Healing is a reintroduction, not to somebody new, but to the person God saw before life convinced you to become someone else. And if we're honest, life has convinced each and every one of us that we were something that we simply were not. So, what do? You give yourself what was missing. Your healing begins when you stop waiting for someone else to become what they never had the capacity to be. One of my favorite analogies by Bishop T.D. Jakes, it's an analogy where he says, sometimes we're asking a 2-liter person, to become a 2-gallon person. And let's get the visual here. You have a 2-liter soda bottle and a gallon water jug. You can take from the 2-liter and pour its entire content into the 2-gallon, right? But you can't take the 2-gallon and pour its entire content into the 2-liter. It can't hold. It can't fit. And that's what sometimes we do in our lives that create the form of disappointment. We're asking people to be something that they simply cannot. They don't have the capacity to be. They don't have the withal to be who we're asking them to be. And then we become disappointed. One of the most difficult truths I had to accept is some people are never going to apologize. Some people will never understand the damage that they've caused. Some people are never going to become the mother, the father, the partner, the friend, the protector, the lover, the what, the that. They're never going to become that person that you need them to be. And you have to be able to be okay with that. And if your healing depends on their transformation or they becoming somebody that you want them to be, let me just tell you, you are going to be stagnated and you'll never grow and you'll never progress if you're depending on them to become what you can become for yourself. Healing begins when you stop waiting for someone else to rescue you. I told you guys, one of my mentors, she don't know she's my mentor, Lisa Nichols. One of the things, most profound things I heard her say was she had to become her own rescue. And that's what some of us need to be to ourselves, our own rescue. Begin participating in your own restoration, in your own healing, in your own journey. We can't expect someone else to do for us what we should be doing for ourselves. Only you know what you needed as a child. Only you know what would have made your childhood so much more different and so much more enjoyable as a child. And this is not to cast blame. Let me just stick this right here. This is not to cast blame on your parent or parents. They did what they know with what they had. Now, some of them knew better, some of them didn't. But at this great big age that we are, we can't continue to hold our parents accountable. Because most of us have been around people that has showed us something different in order for us to become something different. So whatever your parents were or were not, forgive them. Move on. Remember I told you about forgiveness last week. Forgiveness is never for them. It's for you. It's for you to finally open the cage and fly, bird, fly. So we're going to have to become our own rescue. Every time you needed or felt as a child that you wanted someone to say, I'm proud of you, now you are capable of saying that to yourself. Look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I'm really proud of you. Just for even the simplest of things. Girl, you didn't cuss anybody out today. I'm proud of you. In the words of our teenagers, you ain't crash out today. That's what's up. Learn to appreciate who you are and who you're becoming. Don't look for anyone to say they're proud of you when you can say it to yourself. Don't look for someone to protect you when you can, in fact, protect yourself. Don't look for someone to comfort you and when you can comfort yourself. I believe in self-affirmations. I believe in affirming myself even when it doesn't seem like it's working in my favor. Give yourself what was missing. Speak kindly to yourself. You know, I think we forget that if nobody else is listening to us, us is listening to us. We're listening to ourselves. Be kind to yourself. When we say things to ourselves like, oh, you're so stupid, that's yourself you're talking to. And it's registering. There's this book called The Body Keeps Score. Good book, good read. We are talking to ourselves, and if you don't speak kindly to yourself, if you don't love on yourself, if you don't treat yourself with respect and integrity and dignity, if you don't treat yourself with morals and values, you can't expect somebody else to do it. You are your own rescue. While no one can replace what was lost, you can choose to continue with, you can choose not to continue withholding yourself on what you needed. You can have two choices today, ladies and gentlemen. You can choose to continue to hold on and get nowhere, or you can choose to forgive, move on, and get everywhere. Choice is yours. Here's what else I want you to do. We'll talk about more about grief in August. That's going to be a rough month for me, y'all. I'm not claiming it, but I'm just being honest. So here's the third thing I need you to do. Grieve what never happened. You can't heal what you refuse to mourn. I'm going to give you a minute to think about that. You cannot heal what you refuse to mourn. See, most of us think grief only happens after death. But some of our deepest grief moments come from losses that we never had a funeral for. The childhood you deserve but never experienced. The father who was physically present but emotionally absent. The mother who loved you but didn't know how to nurture you. The birthday that came and went without a celebration. The apology that you never got. The dreams that were delayed. The marriage you prayed for but ended in divorce. The relationship you kept holding on to and praying and hoping and seeking God for change, and it never did. Sometimes we're grieving people who are even still alive. So grief doesn't always symbolize death. All those things I just mentioned are things that where we have opportunities to grieve, and they cause grief and we don't acknowledge it. Imagine dreaming this amazing, beautiful life, and your dreams either get delayed, interrupted, not fulfilled. It causes grief. But you don't acknowledge it as grief because we're so programmed to think grief only happens when someone dies. No, grief happened when your marriage ends and you had no idea it was coming to an end. Grief happened when your children are prematurely yeah Grief happens when you had your hopes so high on something to happen or someone, and it doesn't happen. Grief happens when you were expecting so-and-so to apologize, and they never did. We're grieving the versions of people. We should be grieving the versions of people Sometimes we're grieving people who are still alive. We're grieving the version of them that we needed but never received. And that's complicated kind of grief. Healing doesn't require pretending those losses, those issues, those matters. It's not pretending that it never happened and it doesn't matter. But healing invites you to acknowledge them honestly. One of the hardest things I had to acknowledge was the version of me that were in some relationships is not the version of me you will probably get now. There are versions of myself that I grieve periodically because something was lost in the process of whatever happened, right? And so for me, there are some versions of myself that I will never get back. I don't even know how to make that make sense anymore, but hopefully it makes sense. Grief is not a weakness. And one of the things I had to understand that grief is love with nowhere to go. But when you allow yourself to grieve, we make room for God to begin restoring what the pain tried to steal. Now, for those of us that have lost loved ones, that's a different kind of grief. The grief of death or losing a loved one, losing a parent, losing a child, losing a spouse, losing a friend, losing whomever, it's a different kind of grief. But it's the only grief that we know. And so that's the grief that we tend to focus on when there's other kinds of grief that we really should focus on. So you can't heal what you won't grieve. In order to go to the next level in this life, in order to go to the next level personally, whatever, you have to give yourself permission to grieve a version of yourself that you will never get back. And to be honest, maybe it's a healthy thing that you will never get back that version of yourself. Because if you think about it, that version of yourself was a version that allowed people to take advantage, allowed people to use and abuse, allowed the negativity to take root and take voice and take residency. So maybe it's perfectly okay that you don't get that version back, but grieve it. See you later. Sayonara. Goodbye. 45-year-old Natasha is not the same 48-year-old Natasha that you would get. There were some versions of her at age 45 that I had to grieve over and let go. You will never get back 45-year-old Natasha. Now, I don't know what happened at 45. I just chose an age. But you will never get that version of yourself back. So why, instead of trying to hold on to something that God is trying to get you to let go so you can now create a better version, a more healthier version, that's what's creating the grief and the trauma. You're holding on to something that you ultimately should be letting go. Take a moment. Think about it. Is your grief really caused by the external factors? Or is the grief caused because you're trying so hard to hold on to something that no longer serves you as an individual? No longer serves you as a mother, a father, a wife, a husband, a coworker, a boss, an entrepreneur, a pastor, a deacon. What are you holding on to that's no longer serving you? And God is saying, let it go. But you're so determined to hold on to it. So it's causing you strife. And you don't even notice that your blood pressure is high because you're holding on to something that you really should ultimately let go. You don't realize that you're causing yourself to have type 2 diabetes because you're holding on to something that you should have let go 10 years ago. You got headaches because guess what, baby? You should have let it go. Soapbox moment. Most of the times, the pain and the ailments that we feel in our body, they're direct symptoms of what we're doing or have done to ourselves. In my 20s, I suffered really, really bad from migraines. I couldn't figure out where they was coming from, and neither could the neurologist. And it was so bad that they would cause me to be unable to move my head because the pain was so bad in my neck from migraines. And so nothing would work. Cold compress, Excedrin, migraine, all that stuff. None of it seemed to work. And I couldn't figure out, where did these migraines come from? Well, reflecting back now at my 20-some-year-old self, I went through so much heartache in my 20s, be it professional, personal, or spiritual. I went through so much. As I reflect on my 20-year-old self, as I'm sitting here telling you, I can see it. I went through much heartache in my 20s. So much stuff in my 20s that I internalized it to the point it caused migraines. So what I'm saying is, I was holding on to a version of myself that now I realize it was God, but at then I didn't pay it no mind. I was holding on to a version of myself that God was saying, girl, let go. You are not that. You can't become that. You will never become that. That's not what I have for you. So I was holding on like white knuckle. I'm telling you, holding on so tightly to where I thought I needed to be, who I thought I needed to be, who I thought I needed to be. I was holding on for dear life. And as I'm telling you this, I can vividly see myself how I was holding on. And so because I was holding on to so tightly, my body needed a way to express the frustration that it was feeling from my ignorance, and it showed up in migraines. Now, I can't even begin to tell you how bad those migraines were. Light was simply not my friend. Noise was not my friend. I was constantly irritable. It was horrible. And you know what the crazy thing is? I carried that for so long, and nobody knew I was suffering with migraines that bad. That's another issue, another problem we'll talk about. But sometimes people don't even know what we're going through. And we want them to have empathy and sympathy, but they can't, because you haven't even verbalized where you are. So long story short, I got into my 30s, and in my 30s, along came my son. And I realized that once I let go what I was trying so hard to hold on to, out of nowhere, now that I'm thinking about it, the migraine stopped. I mean, when I tell you, it just stopped. Wasn't no pill, didn't go through a treatment, didn't go in any of that. I just realized now, looking back, that I let go who I thought I needed to be, and instantaneously, the migraine stopped. So some of us were making ourselves sick because we're holding on to stuff that ultimately we should let go. But anyway, I'm off my soapbox. Redefine your future. As you continue this healing process, I'm going to cut this episode short. As you go through this healing process, redefine your future. Your history explains you, but it doesn't and it shouldn't imprison you. One of the things we have to stop allowing ourselves to say to ourselves is, that's just who I am. No, sweetheart, you can grow. You can evolve. You can become another version of yourself. That's how you survived. Yes, but that's certainly not how you're going to thrive. Survival isn't your identity. We shouldn't be just surviving. We should be thriving. John 10:10 say, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. We can't have abundance of life if we're holding on to stuff that doesn't serve us any purpose. Your future doesn't have to look like your past. Your children don't have to inherit your wounds. Your relationships don't have to repeat the old cycles that you saw growing up as a child. Your home can become what your childhood never was. I live in complete, utter peace. My house is off limits. You cannot be chaotic and live in my house. I don't care who you are, because in my mind, and in my reality, my home is my sanctuary. This is where I come to rejuvenate, to rest, to get myself, my thoughts, this is my sanctuary. I don't allow chaos or chaotic people in my house. First of all, not everybody know where I live. That's just what it is. If I feel like you are going to bring chaos or disrupt the peace, the flow of peace in my house, baby, you can't come here. I'm just going to keep it 100. You just can't come here. It's off limits. I have boundaries. And my house is one of those places that not everybody's invited to because I need to safeguard my peace. Because I'm redefining my future process, right? So like I told you, with healing, you're always consistently evolving. I haven't arrived. So every time I'm doing the work, I'm not just talking on these podcasts. I'm literally doing the work. So my home is one of the safest places that I come. This is where I come to feel safe. And yeah, you're just not going to be allowed here in my home to disrupt the peace that I've created. I've had people come to my house and within minutes they sit on my couch and we're talking and they just fall asleep. Wasn't sleeping before they got here. They just fall asleep. You know why? Because of the peace that lives here. The peace. And then they'll wake up like, oh, I wasn't even tired when I first got here, but I don't know. I just fell asleep. I know why. It's the peace that I created intentionally. So redefine your future. You have the opportunity to create healthy boundaries, create healthy, a healthy environment for yourself. You know what you needed as a child. I knew as a child what I needed. So I made it intentional, my intent to give my child or create the atmosphere for my child that I wish I had when I was a child. No shade against my parents either. I don't want us to spend the rest of our lives fighting battles that we don't necessarily have to fight. Right? And this is a part of my podcast where, yeah, it's going to sound a little preachy, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. You know, we often sing the song by Yolanda Adams, "The battle is not yours, it belongs to the Lord." And we sing it and it sounds good, but most of us don't believe it. Some of the battles, if not all, 99% of the battles that we're fighting, they're not ours. 100% of them. I take that back. They belong to God. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 says to cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And that's one of my favorite scriptures, by the way. I had to look at that scripture and say, you know what? I'm not carrying anything or anyone I'm not meant to carry. You say cast it. And you know, the word cast means to throw, to thrust. You say cast it on you. Here you go, God. You could deal with that. That ain't my problem. That's above my pay grade. I'm not doing that. And that's what I want some of us to develop, a mindset. That's not, I don't want to do that. I'm not doing that. Get rid of it. Anything that's disrupting the peace, the vibe, the environment that you're trying to create in a positive manner for yourself, get rid of it. If it costs you your peace, it is too expensive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's my philosophy. If it's going to cost me my peace, I'm going to put it back on the shelf. Too expensive. I want it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. If it's going to cause you to go backwards and become who you were, too expensive. If it's going to set you back, too expensive. Put it back on the shelf. You don't need it. What am I saying? Heal. If you've learned nothing in this last month of podcast, this month of July, it's so crazy. It's my birthday month and I chose to do this. But nevertheless, if you've learned nothing else in this month, heal. And I'm talking about for real, heal. Stop putting Band-Aids on wounds that really need stitches. Stop getting stitches for wounds that really need surgery. Just stop. You are not damaging anybody else other than yourself. Stop lying to yourself. You're not good. You're not okay. You're not happy. Get accustomed to verbalizing that which you feel in honesty. I'm going to say that again. Get accustomed to verbalizing that which you feel in honesty, not rudely, not disrespectfully, but in honesty. I taught preschool for many years, and I used to tell my students, use your words. So-and-so doesn't know how you feel if you're doing this. And that's what some of us are doing. We're hyperventilating and in hopes of the person understanding us, but they don't. Because through your hyperventilation, they don't get what you're saying. You have to use your words, dear, is what I will often tell my students. Take a deep breath. Calm down. Now tell me what you're saying. And that's what I'm saying to us today. Take a deep breath, calm down, and ask for what you need. Hey, I don't like it when you do that. It makes me feel yada, yada, yada. Hey, I didn't like the way you spoke to me. It was a bit harsh. And you can do that in a way that is not confrontational, in a way where it's not, you know, making the other person feel, you know, some type of way. But we have to learn to use our words. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be the person that you wanted or needed when you was a child. Be that for yourself. Stop trying to rescue everyone and not rescue yourself. The airline company says it best. Before putting on anyone else's mask, you have to first put your own on. You can't save not one person until you save yourself. I couldn't have done this podcast 10 years ago. It would have been a mess and a lie and a hypocrisy. I couldn't. Because I wasn't healed from some of the things that I talked about 10 years ago. I couldn't have done this podcast in my 20s because it would have been an ultimate disaster because I wasn't healed in my 20s. But I can now because I've taken the chance, I've risked it all on myself and chose to do the work. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Y'all know I'm a preacher and I done gave you like 5 closings, but this is the last one. Just heal. As I close out this series, this whole month of July, we talked about healing and restoring our childhood and addressing our identity. I want to remind us of something that I hope we'll never forget. Your younger self deserved more. Your younger self deserved more protection, more comfort, more affirmations, more consistency, more safety, and that wasn't your fault that you didn't get it. But in this present moment, hear me clearly, you have the opportunity to become someone your younger self would feel safe with. Every boundary you set, every unhealthy cycle you break, every therapy session you attend, which I hope that you do, every honest prayer you pray, and I pray you pray them. Every time you choose peace over chaos, every time you refuse to abandon yourself, which I hope you stop doing, you're giving that little child inside of you something that they've always deserved. And while you can't go back and change the beginning of your story, by God's grace, you can choose how the next chapters are written. Maybe that's what healing really is. Not forgetting where you've been, but finally believing that where you've been doesn't have to determine where you're going because the child inside of you survived. Now it's time for the adult in you to take the lead. And I believe, this is what I believe for you and I, with God, with support, and with intentional healing, you can. So one final question as I leave you this evening. If your 8-year-old self spent 1 week with the person you've become today, would they leave feeling more loved, more safe, more seen, more valued than they did back then? If the answer is no, don't respond with shame. Respond with compassion. Your answer isn't a verdict. It's an invitation. Every day you have another opportunity to become the adult that your younger self has been praying for. I hope this four-week series have given us some idea or some insight into who we are and who we could become. These 4 weeks has not been targeted towards our parents or those that were our caregivers, but it was definitely an eye-opener for each and every one of us to start identifying the things that makes us, breaks us, and sustain who we are. I hope that these 4 weeks was insight. If nothing else, it piqued our awareness and it gave us some alertness. So with that being said, I hope you guys have an amazing week and we're looking forward to August. Until next time, remember, loving you is enough. Bye-bye.